Chapter number 18, and wow, we're going to talk about truth tonight, and I hope you're ready for it. I hope that the Lord speaks to you about truth in your own life. I heard this said before: the hardest truth to accept is the personal truth, meaning the truth that applies to your life, right? Look at John chapter 18, and I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would. John chapter 18, for those who can stand. John chapter 18, this is the trial of Jesus Christ. And in this trial, there are some really interesting things that are said. I want to read starting in verse number 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" This man is Jesus, who he's referring to. They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." I like that. Like, you know, it's not good for us to do it. We want you to kill him, you know. And I'll just say this. A lot of people today are where Pilate is at. They don't want to take a position for or against Jesus. It's kind of like this, like, just kind of spongy, you know, I'm not for him, not against him. I don't know that there is absolute truth. I'm not saying that there's not. That is exactly who we find Pilate to be in this story. Look, if you would, at verse 32, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said to him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world." Man, thank God you're not of this world either, amen? Amen. This world's a mess. "If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence." In other words, it will someday be, but for now it is not. Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." And I like what he follows up with. We're getting close to Christmas time. Look what he says here. "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness," listen to me, "the most influential character in history said the reason he was born was to bear witness of what?" So you better figure out whether there is such a thing as absolute truth or not. Because he said the reason he came was to bear witness of the truth. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth? What is truth?" Tonight we're going to explore that question. Brother Jose, would you ask the Lord's blessing? Amen. Be seated if you would. Let me just say this. 2020 has brought, a lot of different things into our lives. Some things, most things we would say we don't like, we're not a fan of. But I would say one of the things that has caught my attention as a pastor is the amount of Christians that have been swept away in things that are unbiblical, things that are untrue. Now, Pilate asked the question, what is true? We live in an age of, I would say, moral relativism. That's a big way of saying there is no such thing as absolute truth. You've got your truth and I've got mine. And they've got theirs, and the Buddhists have theirs, and this group has theirs, and the Muslims have their truth, and the Christians have their truth. And within Christianity, you have the Protestants that have their truth, and the Catholics that have their truth, and here's the Baptists. Nobody likes them. They got their truth, you know, and everybody's got their own truth. But really, at the end of the day, there is no one absolute final say on what truth is. That's where you're at today, right now. And let me just say this. The reason that society is unraveling, the reason that you have the nuclear family destroyed, you know what I've learned in 10 years of pastoring? You know what I've learned? Most issues that adults have as adults go back to when they were kids. They never learned what a biblical home looked like. So you get a license for being a plumber, you get a license for being an electrician, you get a license for being a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant, a license to preach, they even do that, believe it or not. All these different licenses, and you know what you have to do to have a family? No education, no training, no preparation. We've got a kid on the way, what do we do now? That's how a lot of folks are living. I don't judge them for that. I'm saying we're at that place because we said there is no truth. And nobody knows whether they're coming or going, whether things are getting better. You ask the average person today, are things getting better? They might look and go, we're evolving. We're getting better. We're getting smarter. You can't walk without a phone in your hand. You're not getting smarter. Look at what we can do. You hit a button. Listen, robots are thinking for you now. All right? That doesn't mean I know some of you, we've gotten a higher education and we're much more beyond this antiquated book and the old-fashioned fairy tales of God. We're beyond that. Yeah, that's what you think. There is still a God in your life. There's a final authority in your life. There's something or someone that you say, that's right. And oftentimes it's you if it's not God. But there's going to be an absolute something in you. There's something that's defining how you make decisions in your life. I don't know what it is, but I tell you this much. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? You ought to ask yourself that. In the chapter leading up to this, Jesus is arrested. Peter denies him. And Jesus has this one-on-one moment with Pilate that the other gospels don't give you as much insight into. And I was kind of taken back when I was reading through the Gospel of John this last week and just looking, there's something that stuck out to me, and what it was is that all the Gospels contain the words of Jesus, no doubt. But I'll tell you, Matthew and Mark and Luke, they don't take as much time focusing on the one-on-one conversations that Jesus has with sinners. And here you've got a situation with a man that's a moral relativist, a man that goes, there's no truth. A man that doesn't really, he's not against religion, he's not against God, but he doesn't necessarily need him in his life either. That's where a lot of folks are at today. Why? Because if there is no truth, none of that stuff matters. And by the way, if I didn't think every word in this book was true, I would not be yelling at you right now. I'd be doing something else with my time, that's for sure. All right? Listen, what I'm getting at is this. Pilate stands before Jesus, his one-on-one conversation with him, and he's looking in the eyes of the man that said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here's what's, look if you would at that verse, look at verse 38 in your passage. I want you to notice, he asks the question, and then he walks out the room. Isn't that something? You know, that's where most American people are at. That's where most of Western civilization is at. What is truth? You know what that is? It's kind of an excuse to go, I asked the question, I don't want the answer, or I don't want God's answer on it, but I'll at least throw it out there so I look intellectual. I mean, what is truth? And what is the essence of life? And what is our purpose? And why are we here? Deep questions, but if you don't stick around to hear God's answer, it doesn't matter what you ask. Pilate asked the question, and I hope you ask it yourself tonight, what is truth? But he asks a question and then he walks out as if to say, you know what? I don't need the answer because I'm already convinced there is no such thing. Moral relativity. Christ came to be a witness of the truth. You know, Webster's 1828 describes truth as conformity to fact or reality. Let me just say this. I'm going to be very careful how I say it, but I'm going to say it nonetheless. You are living through something right now where the facts are literally thrown out the window. It has nothing to do with facts as much as it does feelings of those around you. And I don't care what your position is on the, that's not my point. I'm just telling you, you are not living, listen to me right now, in a situation where 99.97% facts, that's a fact, guys. It's not a random opinion of the preacher who doesn't know what he's talking about. That's a fact. That people survive, and you are shutting down entire societies. Whether you agree with it or disagree with it, you've got to ask yourself, what is this all about? It's about removing the idea that there is a truth and going, obey and follow. And you know where this goes in the end? It goes to one world government and one person leading the whole thing, and it's the Antichrist. You say, how do you get that? I get it from a book that says, it is truth. Do you understand, though? If you remove truth, listen, it was purposefully removed from society, not by the Bilderbergers or the Illuminati or by the devil himself, guys. I know some of you like and all the secret conspiracy stuff and, you know, who's behind this? Who's the man behind the curtain? I'll tell you the man behind the curtain is the devil, ultimately. And he's blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest they should come the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate conspiracy has nothing to do with the Illuminati or any of that garbage. You know what the ultimate conspiracy is? Teach people they can be good and honest in their own mind and have their own truth and die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate conspiracy. How do you do that? You remove truth from society. You say you can't know if you're a man or you're a woman. I don't even know how this stuff lines up anymore. How do women's lib line up with, I don't get any of that stuff. You say, why? It doesn't make sense. And I'm not saying this to offend or to hurt or to say, listen, please understand this right now. If somebody came here and said, listen, this is my persuasion, I'd say, free country, I love you, no problem. I'm not going to say, you know what, I agree with you and I'm jumping on the crazy train with you. If someone came here and says, I'm a dog, I'm going to say, sorry, buddy, you're a person. But I identify as, some of you might laugh and think that's stupid and silly. There are people that are literally doing that right now. How do you draw lines anywhere without truth? Do you understand? When Pilate asks, what is truth? It's a lot deeper than just this philosophical, theological, out there in the essence of the universe type of question. It hits home with where we're at right now. People say the Bible is not relevant. No. It's so relevant, they got rid of it. The true state of facts or things. Conformity of words to thoughts, which is called moral truth. Veracity. Purity from falsehood, practice of speaking truth, correct opinion, honesty, virtue, exactness, conformity to rule, real fact of just principle, real state of things, and sincerity. That's Webster's 1820. That's good stuff. But what does the Bible say about truth? I'll tell you this much. Some people aren't finding it for the same reason why people that are robbing banks can't find any cops. Because they ain't looking for him. You know, people say all the time, I'm looking for this thing. Well, I can tell you this much. If you actually want to know the truth, you can have it tonight.
That's right.
And I don't just mean like the truth about eternal security and the truth about, you know, the doctrine of predestination and election and the truth about salvation. And yes, absolutely. But let me say this. The truth about what you should do with your husband and your wife and your kids and your finances and your testimony and what job to take and what job not to take. God wants you to have those things. But I'll tell you what, if you act like truth is just this kind of gray matter out there somewhere and it's all mixed together and it's their truth and my truth, can I just say this? For those that say, as long as Billy has his truth and Billy's happy with it, even if it's not right and he's not hurting anybody, no big deal. Well, let me tell you something. If Billy doesn't have the truth of God's word and Billy dies, and I know he's saved, which is why I can use this example, and he dies without Jesus Christ, it hurts Billy forever. Can I go a step further and say that Adolf Hitler had his own truth? And Mao Zedong had his own truth. And Pol Pot of the killing fields of Cambodia had his own truth. And Joseph Stalin had his own truth. You know, I always mention Hitler and the 6 million Jews that were killed there. What about the 11 million that were killed in Russia? You say, what is it? Oh, that's their truth. Well, of course it's bad. It's morally wrong because they kill people. Wait, time out. Who are you to say it's morally wrong?
Right.
If there is no truth, how can we identify? Where does this code of morality come from? Listen, if in a society they have determined that, listen, it's okay to kill these people, like you're doing in America with babies, and it's okay to do it with, hey, listen, don't look at me like that. If you don't think this is right, let me just throw the history, okay? So I want to teach our young people some history. You know what they did in the 1930s and 40s? They convinced the German people that to purge society would make a better civilization. So those that are mentally retarded, those that are handicapped, you know what we do? We get rid of them, not because we hate them, but for, you know, really, we're looking out for them and we're looking out for all of us. Doesn't that sound wonderful? But you say, what is it? That's the twisting of truth and saying, you know what? As long as we can repackage it and redefine it, and if there is no God and there is no absolute truth, then government or someone else will be God for you. You get rid of truth, you're in trouble. Search the scriptures, Jesus says, for in them you think you have eternal life. Through desire, I like this. When someone says, I can't find the truth, the Bible says, through desire, man, having separated himself, seeketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. You know what that means? If you want truth bad enough, you will find it. How do you explain, folks in South Africa? How do you explain? I mean, you say, what is that? God is going, I'm going to bring the truth your way. What you do with it from there is completely up to you. I've watched people come to church and realize their need for Jesus Christ and realize they need to get saved and acknowledge in their head that they need to get saved. They know there's something wrong inside of them, and yet they white knuckle the chair in front of them, and they will not acknowledge that they need Jesus Christ. They won't say, yes, I want to be saved. You know what it is? It's a head acknowledgement. There's something missing from the head to the heart. You say, what is that? The acceptance of that truth. I read a poll that was done about 4 years ago, so it's recent enough. A majority of American adults across age group, ethnicity, gender, socioeconomic status, etc., all right, find this. 89% of elders, 87% of boomers, all right, 75% of Gen Xers, I think that's me, 74% of millennials report concern over what? They realize that there is a moral failure. The moral condition of our nation is slipping in the wrong. These are not necessarily, it has nothing to do with Christian people. This is a poll of all people. And they acknowledge, the majority of all people acknowledge there is a moral problem in our nation. So this is, now what's interesting about this is this though. According to a majority of adults, knowing what is right or wrong is a matter of personal experience, about 60%. Three quarters of millennials, 74%, agree strongly or somewhat with that statement. And the numbers go down from there the older you get. But here's the idea. The generation coming up, you know what they go? Everyone agrees, regardless of age group, we've got a problem. But everybody equally says about 60, I'll save you some of the time, 66% of people today in America say there is no moral code that is absolute. Do you think maybe that's why we got a problem? Yeah. And here's the interesting thing. The majority of people agree on the fact that, well, there is no moral code, and yet we've got a moral problem. Maybe I'm the problem because I don't acknowledge a moral code anywhere. But see, it's easier to go, society, We've got a problem. No, the problem is you as an individual and your willingness to acknowledge that there is truth. What is truth to you? Is it a matter of experience? A matter of emotion? A matter of opinion? You know what asking that question will do for you if you ask it with the right heart? It'll reveal God's nature to you. It'll expose falsehood in your own life. It'll help you draw lines in your life that will protect you. It'll help you know who God is. Look, if you would, at John chapter 14. John 14. Brother James was asking me, is this going to be a series? I said, I don't know, but I'm kind of feeling like it's going to be. There's so much subject matter when it comes to this, it's hard to put it into one message. John 14, let me just say this, number one, truth is found in a person. Truth is found in a person. John 14, and if you know much about the passage of Scripture, before I read it all, I just want you to understand that John 13 all the way to John 17 is one long conversation. You think my messages are long? Jesus talks from John 13 all the way to John chapter 17, and that entire time he's got his disciples alone. It goes from the time of the Last Supper to when they walk to that area that is known as the Garden of Gethsemane, to where he prays, and they cross over the Brook Kidron, and all that is one long conversation. And in the course of that conversation, there are questions that are asked of Jesus, and Jesus answers those questions. One of those questions is from a man named Thomas, and I know you would know him as Doubting Thomas. I would like to present him tonight as Inquiring or Inquisitive Thomas, if we can. All right, look at John 14 and look at verse number 4. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, man, and the life. You know what it's like to point to a person and go, that is the embodiment of all that is sincere and honest and pure and undefiled, and every time he spoke, it was honest, and every time he spoke, it was genuine, and everything he said was right, and it was true and morally pure. None of us match that, guys. Truth is found in a person. The Bible says in John 21, verse 24, we know that his testimony is true. Listen, I'm not up here tonight to go, man, Jesus was a great prophet, and, you know, we could learn some things about our morality from the life and lessons of little baby Jesus, and, oh, little sweet baby Jesus, we could just learn to be like him. He's not just a good man. Let me just say this. He is more than that. He is a sinless man. And we know, as the Bible says, his testimony is true. That means everything that he said about everything around him, about God the Father, about the devil, about you and your soul, about himself, everything he said was right and true. To ask you a question, do you know anybody else in this room or otherwise that has always said the truth? How do I look in this dress, honey? Boy, you better be real careful. Yeah. Answer that one very carefully, right? You know, does this make me look? I'm not even going to say the word because I don't want to go down that road, all right? Answer carefully. You want to be honest, right? And you want to be factual. It's so uncomfortable right now. All the guys are looking down like this, you know, and like, I'm not looking to make eye contact with the preacher. You guys understand what I'm talking about. Here's a man that never said something dishonest in his entire life. Truth is found in a person. Can I say this? He prepared his disciples. He goes, look, I'm going to leave. And when I leave, I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send my spirit to be in you. And you know what that spirit is called? He's called the Spirit of Truth. You say, why? Because everything about the person of God is connected with truth. You know where your truth in the world comes from? The truth that holds the universe together, it is God and God's presence and God's purity and God's performance through his words. All that comes from the nature and character of Jesus Christ. What am I saying? Truth is found in a person. Look, if you would, at John chapter 15, a little Bible study for you, John 15, look at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Look at John chapter 14, verse 17. Even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world, watch it, the world cannot receive. Do you know why the world is going in the opposite direction of what God says is right? They can't receive the Spirit of Truth. Listen, if you're lost without Jesus Christ, do you understand the Bible will make very little sense to you? Until which time you get saved, the Bible says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? Because the things that the Spirit of God speaks are true. And the natural man goes, I can't even acknowledge it. That doesn't make any sense to me. But man, when the author lives inside of you, you go, yep, 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 yeah. I may not like all of it, amen. But I know it's right. Truth is found in a person. And can I say this? When you reject it in the person of Jesus Christ, you may not realize this, but you're opening yourself up to the wrong spirit. You go, well, preacher, I'm saved, so I'm good in that regard. Let me just tell you right now, Once you place any authority outside of Jesus Christ and what God has said through his words in that book, through your fellowship with Jesus Christ, and you put their authority over God's authority, you're in trouble. Think if you would, back to the first encounter of the devil with mankind. Go back to Genesis chapter 3. I know most of you are familiar with this, but I want you to see this again tonight because it's interesting. I believe our society suffers from what I call half-truths. And half-truths are really what they are, is they're falsehoods, they are lies. Listen, if I told you tonight that here I've got water and this is primarily 99.9999999% water, but there's this 0.00001% of cyanide, would you want to drink it? Let me ask you this. Does the 99% of water make you feel better about the 0.00001% of cyanide that's in this? If you have a brain in your head, you're going to say no. All right? You know what I'm saying? When you mix things that don't belong, listen, you can't mix truth with falsehood. And I'm trying to help you understand tonight that Jesus Christ as the person, listen, it doesn't matter. I'm going to say some things that may sound offensive. It doesn't matter what your friends on Facebook think. It doesn't matter what your mom says, what your grandma says. If it contradicts, I know, in certain cultures, you don't talk about mamita, okay, because she's off limits, all right? Mommy is a saint. She is the perfect angel. Angelito de mami. She's wonderful. She can never do anything wrong. But I'm going to tell you right now, if mom says one thing and Jesus says another, mom's wrong. Listen, Jesus had a mom. Do you guys remember that? And you know what his mom said? Whatever that guy says, do it. She was the mom. Genesis chapter 3, look if you would at verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? When the devil shows up in your life, he wants you to doubt Jesus Christ in your life. He wants you to doubt the person of the Lord in your life. He wants to get you, and listen, you know where the failure falls in place? The moment she responds. You don't negotiate with terrorists, okay? When the devil shows up, you don't go, let's talk about this a little bit. Maybe I can help him out. I've met some women in my life, I'm trying to help you ladies, who you try to rescue the devil all the time, all right? And he's called your ex-boyfriend. Come on, let me get a witness there, all right? And you think you can change him and make him someone wonderful and make him, he's the devil, leave him alone, amen? I've tried to teach my girls, every guy is the devil until they're 40, you know? And even then, you got to watch him. But you understand what I'm saying? That she entertains the conversation. God has already established what truth was for her. And she goes, yeah, I know what God said, but I want to engage in this conversation. I'm going to say something. I know this is going to drive some of you so crazy, and you're tired of me saying it. But I'm going to tell you something. Do you know what this has done in your life? It's caused you to look at things and think about things you would not have thought about 20 years ago. And you engage, look, all it takes is a little seed. And that seed grows in your life and turns into, before you know it, those thoughts turn into actions and actions turn into character. And before you know it, you are not lining up with truth. Right. You got your own truth, a little bit of Bible, a little bit of church, and then sprinkle it with a little bit of Facebook philosophy and bam, there we are. I'm just trying to help you tonight a little bit. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, there's countless people that get online and spew all kinds of stuff that on the surface, it's like, you know, syrupy and ooey and, oh, I just love it so much. And then when you realize it, it's lining up with the Bible. It's like, wait, that is not biblical at all. You say, what is that? That's the devil in your life. You know what he does? He tries to get her to doubt, and then she starts talking with them. And then before you know what she's doing? She is adding to the words of God. Look what it says here in verse number 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. Oh, that mean God. Not only can I not look at it, he said, don't even touch it. God never said that. She's adding to it. Now, why is she doing that? Because once you start having a conversation with the devil, and you start saying, I'm with you, we're cool, but I kind of want to go about this my own way. you're destined for failure. You know what that is? That's a rejection of absolute truth in your life. Now I think if I were to take a poll tonight, I'll be Barna, the Barna poll, and I'm taking a poll of everybody, and I said, do you believe in absolute truth? Yes. Do you believe in absolute truth? Yes. Do you believe? Okay, then tell me, is this absolutely right or wrong, the thing you're engaging in? Well, am I right about that? Do you have any business talking with that person? Remember the last time you talked to him 20 years ago and what you guys were involved in? All of a sudden, it's like, well, I mean, I can kind of take it, and I can handle it, and I can repackage it, and it's not really as bad as you're making it sound, preacher, and you just have all these lines. God has all these lines. They're called truths, and they're for your good. The Bible says in verse 6, look at verse 5, though. Verse 4, I'm sorry, the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. Can I ask you a question? The moment they ate that fruit, did they die? No, but yes. They didn't die physically. They died spiritually, though. Right. See, the devil will just give you enough truth to get you off the mark. I've watched more Christians this year go off into left field, wild, weirdo things that have nothing to do with the Christian life. And you say, what is it? How does that happen? A little bit of half-truth at a time. Then he says this, for God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Doesn't that sound good? You'll know so much more. You'll be just like him. You know the flip side of that? You're going to know something you've never known before. It's called shame. It's called you won't even be able to lift your head and look into the eyes of your Creator anymore like you used to. When you see him, you're going to put your head down, just like you parents experience with your kids when they know they've done something wrong. Yep. See, your eyes will be open. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Oh, you know, open your eyes and be enlightened with your own truth, and with this own truth, new dimensions and new universes of possibilities will be there before you. Yeah, and shame will be there. You never had that either. And you'll know that you were naked. You never knew that either. Those that think it permissible to tell white lies soon grow colorblind. A.W. Tozer, great author, said, the unattended garden will soon be overrun with weeds. The heart that fails to cultivate truth and root out error will shortly be a theological wilderness. The psalmist says, thou desirest truth, talking to God in the inward parts. You see, it's not just a matter of saying, yep, there's truth. It's from the inward parts saying, this part of my life does not reflect the person of truth, Jesus Christ. The stuff I'm doing outside of church, I hope no one from church notices or knows about. Don't worry, we don't have spies. Can I tell you this? I have enough problems of my own. I don't want to have all your dirt on me. You know, people say, Pastor, you preached that message. It's like you had cameras in my house. No, thank you. But the stuff that you just pray to God that nobody finds out about, I mean, it's another part of your life. And you're trying to convince somebody else, hey, follow Jesus. And that part of your life doesn't line up with truth, and you know it. I don't mean to pick on the young people, but you got stuff right now at your fingertips that allows you to see stuff and experience stuff, and in a matter of seconds, it's gone off your phone, and you think nobody knows about it, but God does.
That's right.
I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm trying to help you. Man, when I was young, we had to work to get into trouble. Now it's just kind of right there, boom, like everything else. What am I saying? When you reject, in certain aspects of your life, the truth that God is showing you through himself, you're opening yourself up to influences that will take you down a dark path. Yeah. Young ladies, you've been told your whole life since you've been in this church and since you were raised around, since you got saved, since you got on the Bible, don't date him if he's not saved.
Yes, amen.
And you're going to think at some point, you're going to go, I can change him.
Nope.
Good luck.
Yeah.
And 5 years down the road, when you're having problems and you want to, I'll be here. I will be here for you. But you'll have a lot of baggage you wish you didn't have. And you young men that go, oh, I can handle her. Buddy, even if she's a good woman, you can't handle her, okay? All right? Trying to help you, that's all. You know, one time Jesus is talking with one of his disciples. You know the story. And I just like the Bible's wording is just so, to me, it's so fascinating. The Bible says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind. The implication is they're talking. You ever had a conversation with someone? You moms know what I'm talking about. In Latin American culture, there's a thing called la chancla. It's a little sandal. Oh, she just told on herself. And mom has always got it. And if you talk back to mommy, pow, just like that. All right? I don't know if they have that in the Philippines or not, but man, I'll tell you, in Latin America, that sandal flies off in record time. And it'll hit you. You have no idea where it came from. You see, those moments where you say something and mom catches it, and before you can take it back, it's wham, right? It's kind of what happened with Jesus and Peter. Because Jesus is going, guys, I've been trying to build up to this. I've been trying to reveal truth a little at a time because you couldn't handle it all one time. So let me tell you what's going to happen. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to die for your sins, and I'm going to be betrayed in the hands of sinners. And Peter goes, oh, no, not in my house. That's what Peter says. I've got this. I can handle it. And I know what you said, God, but I can make it different. You see, that's what we're all trying to do that in our lives in different areas. I know what you said, God, but I can handle this. And he turns to him. That's what the Bible says. He turned to him and goes, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, what he says after that's profound. For thou savorest not. There are certain meals in our home that our children will eat because they know that while their mom doesn't have a chancla, all right, she has other means of force that she doesn't mind using. There's nothing like a mom's look, you know, like that piercing thing into your soul. Like, you know, you say something and she just looks at you. They know they have to eat it. But they don't savor broccoli. Like, I mean, I call him Piponito. He's Ethan, the little one, you know, and we call him Piponito because that guy can, when he likes something, he can pack it away. We went out to eat the other day, and I looked back, and literally, Preston and Emma were still working on their burger. Ethan, the four-year-old, the little one, gone. I'm like, dude, where'd he go? I said, what happened? He goes, I ate it, Dad. There are certain meals and things that they savor. And go, oh, I could just eat more. And you know what he said? It wasn't that you didn't tolerate. See, here's the problem. Some of you tolerate truth, but do you savor it? Man, I need that. Oh, that's so good. God, that I don't like it. It's not something that my flesh is attracted to, but it's so good for me, and I'm going to accept it. And here's what I've learned about truth. There's really three phases of what you have to do with truth. You have to be exposed to it. Now, it is no wonder if somebody is out of church for 3 months at a time that whenever they find their way back, that they walk in the door, and the first time someone says hi, they're offended. You know why? Because they've been away from something that was good for them. And I don't care what you say, you and I both know that it's different when you're in this place with God's people. And I'll say this as well. I'm going to step on a limb. I'll probably hurt someone's feelings. It's not for that purpose. But I know, and you know, and God knows that it's not the same when you hit play and the cat's walking through the room and your phone's going off. Because you know what happens here at church? When your phone goes off, the pastor dances and you go, oh, I got to put that away because it's so embarrassing. But when it happens in your living room, you're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so, yeah. And the message that's going on the screen is out of sight and out of mind, and the fowls of the air came in and devoured the seed that was there. Are you with me right now? So when you come back to church, it's kind of like this big, huge burden, and everything seems big. And you know what? Someone says, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a while. And you get offended by that. You know why? You're not savoring the things that be of God. You're tolerating them. Do you know where the sexual perversion in our society went off the rails? Tolerate it. Then it became embrace it. Then it became, if you speak out against it, we will crush you. Do you understand what that is? That is sin. Now, I'm not just picking on that. I'm just saying anything that we could talk about it, it's the same pattern. You have to be exposed to the words of God, the truth of Jesus Christ in your life. But that ain't enough. You know what else you got to do? You got to activate it. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Jesus says, thy word is truth. You know what he tells God the Father as he's praying for his disciples? I'm going to leave them my word. If I could leave them anything, I could leave them the power of the universe, atomic, nuclear design. If I could leave them all these different deep things and things that are scientific in nature, you know what he says? I'm going to leave them my words. Because when I'm not here, you know what they're going to need more than anything else? Something that doesn't change over time. Can we say it like this? If it's true in 2020, it was true 2,000 years ago. You know why? Because truth doesn't change. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word. See, truth is found in a person, but it's found in God's precepts as well. And John, where did I tell you to go? Thank you. I was going to tell you, John, like that. It wasn't right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to see what Paul the Apostle says here. To me, it's interesting. He commends these Thessalonian Christians. And look at verse 12. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you into his kingdom and glory. How do you do that? How do you walk worthy of God? I think verse 13 answers that in part. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. Preacher gets up, preaches a message, you don't like it, stomps on your hobby horse, stomps on your personal hobby in your life, your thing, the thing you're holding on to, the thing that you don't think is all that big of a deal. It's kind of gray, it ain't black or white, it's just kind of the most kind of thing. But preachers just stay with it. He hits on that and you go, how dare he? Well, if you took it as the words of men, then you'd have a problem with it. But if you do what the Thessalonian Christians did, not as the word of men, but as is in truth, the word of God. Look at the last part of the verse. That's the key. You want the word of God to, listen, you have to be exposed to it, but you got to activate it in your life. You know how you activate it? You go, those words are from God. And I'm going to receive them as if they came from God, not just people. Now, if the words you're listening to are truly men's words and they don't line up with the words of that book, then throw them out. But if they line up with the words of that book, you know, you got to say, Lord, I'm going to receive this as if it came directly from you, whether it's about my finances, my hobbies, my habits, my relationships, whatever, my tendencies, the things that I'm drawn to speak about, the things that I'm drawn to live by. Lord, the things that I kind of submit myself to, the things that I will kind of squirm around so that I can get around popular opinion and still be okay with you. All those things, God, I'm going to put all that down. And I'm going to submit to your authority. And when I do that, the word of God can effectually work in my life. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to just hear it. I want to get to a place where I can live it out. You know, the story of Jesus says about the wise man, the foolish man, and, we got a tree, big tree, and all excited about it. And fell over because the cat jumped on it. Then it fell over for no one knows why. Then we went away and then we came back and it had fallen over again, you know. And the girl's like, Dad, we're sorry. I'm like, no, I must be doing something wrong. It's not your fault. And, you know, what happened is I got underneath there and what I realized was the tree went like this. So you couldn't see that from the outside. But when you got down in there, what you realized was when you thought it was straight up here, you're really doing this number to the tree. And then to complicate it further, the thing that was holding the tree in place wasn't strong enough for it. And the Bible says that those that hear the words but don't live by them, it's like building a house on sand, and it washes that sand away and thus washes the house away. Why? Because the thing that was holding it in place wasn't made to hold it in place. Are you hearing me? You know what you need in your life? You need truth to hold it all in place. Because you know why? You're naturally crooked just like I am. I'm going to close with this story. A story about a young man. He's a young prophet of God. 1 Kings chapter 13. You can read it some other time. This young prophet goes and he preaches to Jeroboam the words of God. And Jeroboam didn't like the message, so he reaches out his hand to go get that guy. And as he reaches out his hand gets stuck like arthritic, just like that. He can't move it back. And all of a sudden he realizes I had picked on the wrong guy. And he says, preacher, would you pray for me? I mean, that's when you want a preacher, right? When you're in trouble. You know, I may have talked about him and roasted him all day long, but man, I need you now. Preacher, and he prays for him, and he's healed. And he says to the preacher, hey, let me give you riches. Let me give you honor. Let me promote you. And you know, the preacher says, no. God told me by the word of the Lord, I'm not to stop. I'm not to take pleasure in what you're going to give me. I'm to go back a different way that I came. And that's what God told me. That's what I'm going to do. And that young man finds himself on a journey. He sits beneath a tree, and he sits down there, and all the word spreads about this young preacher, and the words of the community thrive, and that word spreads, and all of a sudden this older preacher hears about this young preacher, and he says to his sons, go get the young preacher. And so they go to the young preacher, and they go, young preacher, hey, listen, my dad, he's a preacher too. Why don't you come hang out with him? And he goes, no, guys, sorry. I can't eat with you. I can't drink with you. Well, what's the big deal? The word of God. God told me to myself, I'm not supposed to go that way. I'm not supposed to stop. I have a mission, and that's what I'm supposed to stick to. And the old preacher says, yeah, but here's the thing. I was like you once. I mean, we're buddies, right? We're preachers. We hang out. We have the same problems. You know, let's get together. Kumbaya. He says, come on, let's hang out. And the young man goes, well, I know what God says, but what's the big deal? And while they're having a meal, you're talking about a weird, weird situation. Let's say someone convinces you to do something really stupid against what God says, and then while you're eating and the food is still in your mouth, that person that convinced you to come and go against what God said goes, you're going to die because you disobeyed the word of the Lord. Talk about a weird, awkward meal. That's how you ruin dinner right there. And the Bible says that man left that house, and on the way to going where he should have gone, a lion met him and killed him. And as the story goes, it's really unique. They pass by the carcass of that young man, and there's a lion there, and there's a donkey there, and it's a reminder of both the strength of life and the burden of the word of the Lord and what God had called him to do for him, and it's all wasted and gone. You see why? I know what God says. I know what truth is, but the experts say, the people say, popular opinion says, I feel. Yeah. Can I get a witness that your feelings will come and go and will change?
Amen.
Have you ever felt, now let's be human for a moment. Have you ever felt something at night when you're tired and you're emotional and you just say, God, give it to me. And the next day you wake up and go, God, nope, that wasn't me. That was tired Adrian. Right? You know what I'm getting at? God has shown you what is right. He's shown you what is true in his person and in his precepts. Now it's up to you to perform it and live it out. What is truth? You can find it in God. You can find it in his words. And you should be able to find it in our lives. Let's all stand. No need for an invitation tonight, but I want to challenge you. Ask yourself, what is truth? Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the Bible. We thank you for the challenges, the reminders that, Lord, It's not what we think that's going to help us. It's not our experiences, our emotions, Lord, but it's being exposed to that which is true, to the person who is truth, and to activating that truth in our own lives and to living it out. God, would you help us? We oftentimes get stuck on the exposure part of things where we do desire truth. But Lord, sometimes living it out in the secret areas of our hearts is not always easy. God, I pray for every man and woman, younger, older, regardless of age, that they leave here tonight with a determination, or not just to find truth, but to live truth. God, I pray you bless your people. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here tonight that doesn't know what it means to be saved, Lord, that they would, before they leave this place, would talk to someone that can open up the Word of God and show them what the truth is from your Word about their eternal soul and their eternal destination. God, thank you so much for dying for me. Well, not just dying for the Word, but for dying for Adrian Dominguez, or dying for me, Lord, and being buried for me, and Lord, rising from the dead for me. Lord, I sure do love you, and I appreciate you, Lord, and appreciate these people. Lord, I pray you'd speak truth into their hearts from the Word of God tonight. I ask it in Jesus' name, for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you here Sunday, Lord willing. God bless you. Do you want to have...